Welcome to our time at Advent. We share together the lighting of the Advent candle. May the Lord's love shine in our hearts.
May his peace be with us all.
The Lord is our faith and our life.
Our hope is in the coming of the Lord.
And the shepherds went out with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. The third candle on the Advent wreath is called the Shepherd's Candle. We light one pink candle to remind us of the joy of Christ's coming. We honor the shepherds who were the first to share the good news. We continue to share the good news in word and song as we celebrate around our lighted Christmas trees.
Let us pray that we may grow in love for each other as the Lord comes to us.
Father in heaven, your family, who look forward to the birthday of Christ, experience the joy of your love and celebrate his birth with a new sense of love for each other. Amen.
Amen.
O great shepherd of the sheep, lead us and touch our lips with coals of fire that we may tell of your glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we're sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you in the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Though you may feel at the end of your rope and discarded forever, there is nothing too great for God's saving grace. A reading from the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The King, the Lord, the King of Israel is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for this morning is Psalm 85 on page 3 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for he is speaking peace to his faithful people,
and to those who turn their hearts to him.
Truly his salvation is very near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Truth shall spring out from the earth,
and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord
will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and peace shall be a pathway for his feet.
Forebears continue to guide our lives today. May their prayers benefit us and the future of the church. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm sorry, I was listening to the choir. The Gospel of the Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
I'm reading from the third chapter of Luke, starting at verse 7. This is after the birth of Jesus by about 30 years. It's the beginning of his ministry, and John the Baptist is starting to speak, drawing great crowds. And a part of what he says is, like you had heard in the earlier readings, it's time to prepare. And a part of preparation is looking at ourselves. The first declaration you won't think is really life-giving, but stay tuned. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." That's not necessarily a really positive way to begin, but stay tuned. "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to ourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already laid at the foot of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What shall we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher, what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you're required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" And he replied, Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Seated. For the last 2 weeks, I've been speaking about one of the gifts that the Lord brought to us through his birth, life, death, and resurrection, hope. And today I want to speak about another gift, the gift of peace. And it's one of those things that can be difficult to acquire, but is an important element in our life. And you know, in this last week, as many of the folks of Advent were preparing for the concert on Friday, it seemed like it could be a hectic time. There were signs to be made, there was publicity, there were the luminaries to put up. It was a hectic time, but on the night of the concert itself, it was an edifying thing to see. Not just the church was filled. Dick said there were 215 people here, very cool, and plenty of volunteers, people from the Ministry of Advent were all over the place being good hosts for the people that came for the night. It was just an elegant, encouraging time, and as much as anything, aside from the beautiful music and the filling of the sanctuary with songs of praise to the Lord, I loved seeing so many of you at work joining together as a team to make this event happen in a way that was really life-giving for the church and shows really what can be done when we work together. So for those of you who weren't able to be here, you missed a very edifying night. And when you think about a time like that, it would be easy to get stressed. Well, what if things don't work? What if the weather's bad? But by God's grace, we were given a wonderful time, and the sense of peace and joy that was here, I thought was really, really edifying. So I want to talk about that peace. We're now getting precariously close to Christmas. Next Sunday will be the 23rd, and it's one of those things, if you're having company, it's time to really make the final preparations. This week I bought the ingredients for the things that I'll be making for our family gathering, and I just find that really exciting to do and to prepare for the future. The scripture readings that we had talk about preparation for what the Lord is doing in our lives from Zephaniah through the Gospel of Luke, preparing for the one that Isaiah called the Prince of Peace. The one who would bring that peace. In Isaiah 9:6, a child shall be born for us, and God has given us a son. He will be called the Prince of Peace. That understanding that in spite of what's in our lives, that the Prince of Peace is coming. And when Isaiah prophesied that, it was about 700 years before Jesus was born. And it's one of those things that said, hope has been restored. God is going to deal with us in mercy. So we have that prophecy about 700 years before it happened. The night of Jesus' birth, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." That's an awesome thing. So Isaiah proclaimed it. The angels declared it from heaven. And then near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, in John chapter 14, the disciples were gathered together. It was really the time right before Jesus would go to the cross. And he said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So from the prophet to the angels to Jesus himself, the gift of peace is coming. And to me, that's just a powerful thing. One of the things that I found fascinating about reading and rereading those scriptures this week, that it was on the night that he was going to be betrayed by Judas that Jesus lifted up the bread and the wine and said, "This is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." The disciples, the young men, understood that there was only one day a year when sin could be forgiven, and it was at the temple on the most holy day when the priest went in to the Holy of Holies. But Jesus said, "That lamb, that young lamb that will be offered up as a sacrifice, I'm that lamb. I'm God's lamb. And it costs my life to impart peace to you." They didn't understand that yet, but that's really what was happening. Some people in our day try to find peace in a bottle. Others try to find it in a pill. Others try to find it in an experience or in a book. But none of them are permanent. You can look at our world. Peace is a hard thing to come by. It usually involves war. But in the Bible, there are 790 verses on peace. And since you probably don't have a lot to do after this service, I thought I'd read them to you. No, just kidding. But I do want to talk about the meaning of those verses in the Bible, and I want to try to summarize them into three different categories of what peace means for our lives. First, the first category is eternal, which is peace with God. Then there's internal, which is peace with myself. And then there's external, which is peace with others. And the first one, peace with God, is of course the most important one because everything else flows out of that. So think about this. The Bible says that Jesus came to restore peace between us and God. And if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, when the initial fall happened, there was a fracture of relationship between God and man. And all of the Old Testament sacrificial systems, all of the different sacrifices that were made were temporarily to cover the sin of man toward God so that wrath wouldn't fall. But none of it mattered unless Jesus had come, lived, died, and was resurrected. None of those would have mattered. They were offered in anticipation of the Lord providing his own lamb to make peace again with man. To me, that's a powerful thing to grasp. Paul talks about this peace in Romans 5:1. He says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." Think about people in your church or in other churches where you have been. The best volunteers in any church are the people who feel the most guilty about their lives, because they want to make it right with God by doing things to atone for their behavior. And what the Bible's revelation is very clear, that what makes us right with God is never anything that we say or do. It's what has been done for us. When you come to the altar in a minute, in several minutes to share in the Lord's Supper, let me rephrase that. Really several minutes. It'll be a little while because I'm just getting started. But But point being, you are coming to recognize, as you receive the elements of communion, that it's never about what you have done. It's about what has been done for you. We serve God, but it's in response to what he has done for us. So one of the things that is so important is that we understand that it has been done for us. That's what gives us eternal peace, that takes care of the debt of our past as well as secures our time after we die with the Lord. But sometimes in the way that we live, we tend to say, I want to be Lord of my own life. I understand the rules, that's fine, but I want to be Lord of my own life. The best recent example I have of that was a young lady, probably middle age to early middle age, who was no longer married. She was living with her boyfriend, and we were in a Bible study, and the concept came up of what it means to live a moral life, that sex outside of marriage is not what God's revelation shows. It shows that that is a gift for within marriage. And so this woman questioned that and said, I don't agree with that. Now she was, again, living with her boyfriend. And so I asked her the question that I love, how do you think God feels about that? And her response was, oh, he understands. Well, the answer is not really. The whole point of Jesus coming was to atone, to make up for our own failures, not to give us the intentional freedom to live in the way that we want rather than the way that's revealed in God's word. And that's why it's so important. You are one of those churches that honors God's word, which is a part of what gives us eternal peace with God, because we recognize him as the author of our lives and also the author of our salvation. And so a part of living morally is that we honor his word and what he has done for our lives. Doesn't mean we don't fail, but it means intentionally we seek to live in a way that is in harmony with him. So peace with God is what's central in our lives. But it always comes from what Jesus has done for us. You can't be a nice person enough to get right with God. You can't do enough good things in your life to get right with God. The Bible says that you don't need to make a peace offering with God to be right with him. Sometimes when you're married, you will try to make a peace offering for your spouse. In my case, for my wife. And Tammy's thing was always when I would say to her, if I had done something that was offensive to her, I would say, well, what do you want me to do? And her response was always, just love me. Now, she did have expectations of what that meant, but to me, that is our response to God, that because of what he has done, we just love him by the way we live. We choose to live according to his code, not because it's what redeems us, but it is how we can express our love back to him. Remember in the story of Jesus' birth in the Gospels, that there were the wise men who came to see the baby that was born. It was probably about 2 years into his life, and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And myrrh was one of those spices that was used to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And so even in the beginning of his life, it was an indication, a prophetic indication, that he was born to die. One little boy in a Sunday school class was writing about this, and he wrote that the wise men brought gold, Frankenstein, and myrtle. He understood the idea was a little bit off, but the significance of those gifts is powerful. Jesus was born to die, and it's what establishes peace with God for us as we receive him as our Lord and Savior. And the second kind of peace is internal peace, peace on the inside. And the Bible has a word for that kind of peace. It's called the peace of God, when I have peace with God through Jesus, then I can have the peace of God in my heart. Paul writes about it in Colossians 3:5. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. To me, that's a powerful thing. The Old Testament word in Hebrew for peace is shalom, and it means all kinds of things beyond peace, well-being, serenity, lack of conflict. And that's a part of what Jesus established and what we can have in our lives. And what that means, when you experience a broken heart, he gives us comforting peace. When you come to a place where you are completely befuddled in terms of direction, he brings peace as a guidance, that here's the way that you can walk in my way, even though you can't understand exactly what's happening. When you live with guilt and shame, he gives that peace that comes from forgiveness, that there's nothing more I need to do to be right with him. When we deal with worry about tomorrow, how will I provide for myself, for my family, he gives us confident peace. That's the peace we get from God that comes into our hearts, and it changes everything. It means that even when we go through difficult times in our lives, because we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God on the inside. I was talking with Dick right before the service about one of the fears that I had, especially in the early years of pastoral ministry, and especially during that time when we had planted a church on Long Island. My greatest fear at night going to bed was, what if no one shows up tomorrow? What if it's just me? And then my rationalization was, I did have my wife and my three kids. They do have great voices, so we could have a worship service. And then I could fitfully fall asleep. But that was a struggle for me to have peace on the inside because of what I felt was a responsibility for those that would come. So peace with God, eternal peace on the inside, and then external peace, which is peace with others. And to me, that third one is sometimes where we start, that we try to behave in a way that makes us pleasing toward other people and doesn't cause conflict. But it needs to really start from peace with God, flowing through our internal being where we have peace on the inside. So the way that we live is actually a reflection on the outside of who we are on the inside. And I have found for myself that the further I get away from God, whether it's because of not understanding or feeling such pressure to do things in my own strength, the further I get away from him, the crankier I get. And the more I am at peace with him, the easier it is for me to be peace-giving toward other people by the way that I live. The world isn't getting more peaceful. I was reading in the news this morning before service about the unsettled situation in France, the challenges in Great Britain with leaving the European Union, ongoing struggles in different parts of the world between Christianity and Islam. The world isn't getting more peaceful, but we are called to be light bringers, to be people of peace. And that's a part of what Jesus lived and died for, to bring us, is his peace, the one who is the Prince of Peace. When you look at the nativity, that's a part of what this was all about, to bring us to that place where we're no longer in conflict. A simple example of this for me, what it means to have peace on the inside. I'm a coffee drinker. I believe most Christians should be coffee drinkers. But here's, if you think about it, I start my day with coffee. Even before I open my Bible, I turn on the coffee maker. And if you fill your coffee cup right to the brim and try to move around the house, the chances are you might spill it, because you're tense that the coffee cup is too filled. And sometimes when we are full of anxiety and stress in our lives, we're like a full cup of coffee that It's almost waiting to be spilled, and generally we spill it on other people. But if you pour an appropriate cup of coffee where there's room for a little jostling, you can walk around with your mug and be more at peace. And that's what Jesus does in our lives, that he allows us to be at that level where crises will come, unexpected shakings will happen in our life this side of eternity, but we can deal with it because gyroscopically we are centered toward Jesus, that we understand that things happen, but he is pointing us in the right direction and guiding our steps. Think about road rage that you hear about all the time, that's somebody whose coffee cup is too full. We want to be mellow, we want to be at peace. Starts with eternal peace with God, internal peace, and then it is exported into the world around us. Think about it, and we will do this in a little bit. We say it all the time in our worship service. Why do we say this? Because we need it. Peace be with you. Because I need it too. Jesus came to bring us that peace, and we remind ourselves all the time that that's such an important element. And Christmas is about hope. It's about peace. It's about those elements that transform our lives, that leads people to ask us, what's different about you? You're going through a really difficult time in your life. I don't think I could handle it the way that you are. What's the difference? It's Jesus in your life. He is the Prince of Peace. I want to close with this verse from Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's where we live. It doesn't mean that we don't have struggles, but it means that we have a different way of dealing with the challenges in our life, which is what Jesus came at Christmas time to deliver to us in just a remarkable package. A baby born in an out-of-the-way place to take us to a place that we could never get on our own. Let's continue our service by sharing together our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Let's all arise. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Prayers of the people this morning are Form 5, which can be found on page 6 in your bulletins. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation and for those who are present and for those who are absent and for those on our prayer request list, for health and recovery for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, Bill and Judy, Irv, Joan, Karen, Lois, Michael, Arthur, Marilyn, Velta, Rose, Dave, George, Cynthia, for the Friends of Advent, for Tony, our Eliza Jennings residents, for Sylvia, for Kayleen, and for Jack Morgan, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, for the servicemen and women who are serving our country and protecting us during this holiday season away from their own families, keep them safe, Lord, that being freed from anxiety, we may all live in joy, peace, and health. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the communion of your church and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord, our God.
Please join me in the following prayer. Holy Spirit, you delight in offering to me and all whom you call the gift of both knowing and serving the Father,
whose kingdom we pray to come, whose will to be done. Raise up from among your people
a priest and pastor to minister the compassion and love of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, leading us to grow in members and holiness of life.
For the transforming of my life, along with the life of my family, Advent Episcopal Church, and that of the whole world, through the same Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. All right, are you ready? The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Peace, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, listening to the gospel this morning reminded me of, I was listening to the radio yesterday, and Michael Rydelnik from Moody Bible Institute was answering a question from a call-in that said, hey, did Jesus and John the Baptist hang out before they were 30 years old? And I thought, you know, I've never thought about that. But, you know, Elizabeth and Mary were cousins, so we have to expect that John and Jesus hung out together. So I wonder when the realization and the revelation came to John that Jesus was more than just his cousin. So think about that. Ponder that during this Advent time. It's a homework assignment. I talked with Art Beale this morning, and he wanted me to convey to you that he had surgery on Monday to clean up some bone spurs in his spine. The surgery apparently was successful. He's in rehab at St. John's in Avon. Hopes to get out before Christmas, not sure yet when, but he is having some balance issues right now, so he said he's having to relearn how to walk. The good news is the surgery was successful, and so he's now in a recovery mode. So wanted to pass that on. Paul has talked about the Dan Sheedy concert. Awesome time of worship. We have, for those of you who would like to take one home, we have plenty of the bulletins left from the service. One of the ways that Dar has introduced Dan Sheedy's music into our worship service is the song, the Gospel Processional, that we have been singing the last few Sundays. We sang this morning, Christ, circle round us. And that's on page 4 in the bulletin. We sang that Friday night. That's from Dan Schutte. I just want to say that there was, I think, a lot of peace and lack of stress and lack of anxiety on Friday night. Awesome teamwork from amongst a bunch of people. I especially want to commend Ray Bassoni. I don't know where he vanished to. Oh, he's right behind me. Right. I usually see him over there. I should know he's lurking. You know, these things don't happen without a lot of behind the scenes details getting handled so that things run smoothly. And the two people that really made all of those details happen were Ray Bassoni and Joanne Beck. So I want to acknowledge and commend and praise them to you. They did an awesome job. Ray, thank you for being a blessing to us. Joanne, I've expressed that my gratitude to her multiple times, and I will continue to do so. She is a blessing to us. But Ray, thank you very much. Ray was also ably assisted by Jason Evans in a lot of the prep work. The church looked awesome. Koa did a lot of the decorating. And the bulletin lists thanks to many people. The luminaries were awesome. Jerry and Jan, Max and Barbara, thank you for those. The reception afterwards, Jan and Sharon and others organized that. Thank you for that. Just all the many details that got handled so that it was a time of peace and celebration, as Paul has been saying. So you're standing behind me. I guess you want to say something, huh?
Good morning. I think you've said it all. I wanted personally to see this church, Advent, filled to the capacity. And Friday night, 215 people, it was filled to capacity. Leonard Adams, Jason, my son Adam were out in the parking lot parking cars, showing them where to park. And I think when he was done, he said there was exactly 2 parking spaces left unoccupied. It just was such a good feeling to see this place totally at capacity. Everybody in here on the same page, enjoying Dan, was fantastic. Thanks to the movers who picked up a piano, got it up on the risers, got the altar down, and then we got it all back together Saturday, took all that down and put it back. We did not blow out any titanium hips or titanium knees. It was good all the way around. One thing Dick has stressed is that we have input on vestry from men and women. Now, if it was left up to Jason and I, we probably would have put Harley Davidson stickers along the driveway and not the luminaries you saw. So it's very important to have that input on vestry as what we should do at concerts like this. So thank you very much, all that took part. Peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
You know, there's been a lot of preparation done to promote the concert and to prepare for it, but a giant word of thanks needs to go out to Dar Curry as well. She came to us, I don't know, a month or so after she joined us and said, look, I have this vision for this Dan Schutte concert, and we're going to do it, Dick. And I said, yeah, okay. And I did not realize until shuttling Dan back and forth how tight a schedule he has. And so, Dar, I want to let you have an opportunity to tell us how you made this happen.
It was a miracle. It was a miracle. Friday night, late when I got home, I posted something on Facebook, And a lot of my sisters from Pittsburgh, the Sisters of St. Joseph, from my community out there, they've been trying to get Dan. They had him, you know, about a year ago, but they wanted to have a follow-up concert with him, and they couldn't get him again for another year and a half. They can't get him until next November. And so when I tried to do this, it's a miracle that they, OCP, Oregon Catholic Press, said, well, he's available November 14th, but other than that, you're going to have to wait another, like, year and a half. I said, you've got to be kidding. So we had, like, what, 2 months? That, I've been doing this for 38 years. That never happens. God has a plan for us, and God is initiating that plan now. And I think that's what this is all about. I think it's about God's plan for Advent. So let's continue to pray for one another and to recognize these miracles when they happen in our lives and in our community life together. So thank you, and thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Just one other note. I think many people, actually two notes. Linda had a number of her Catholic friends from school and church attending, and several of them remarked to her how welcoming and how much love and hospitality they felt during the time here. So I think that's just another manifestation of the peace that Paul was talking about. So congratulations for being such a welcoming community. The other thing is I had the privilege of taxiing Dan Schutte back and forth, picked him up at the airport, took him to dinner, took him to his hotel, brought him from his hotel here for the concert, took him home. So I had some time to spend with him. And not only is it important that we feel uplifted by the Friday night occasion, but Dan Schutte was really moved and uplifted and edified by the time he spent with us. So clearly that experience ministered to him similar to how he has ministered to us. So thank you very much for that. Finally, there'll be someone to pray with you in the back during communion. Oh, one other thing, yes. So we handed these out Friday night. We handed out the bulletin and a new Advent brochure. We had this prepared by Brian Frello, who is our webmaster and also in a design firm. It lists Advent's vision, the purposes of Advent, what we believe, a little bit of background on some of the ministries, service times. So this is, if you didn't get one Friday night, please pick one up on your way out today. We'll use this in a lot of different ways to make Advent more visible in our various communities. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Sorry, Jan. Thank you, Jan.
Is it safe now? One of the things that I appreciated from Friday night, aside from all of the festivities, was one person came up to me just prior to the service. They had read our brochure and said, I love that you clearly state what you believe and why you believe it. That would be the kind of church, that's what I would want my church to do. Love it. So I think that will be a valuable brochure. Let's continue now by presenting our offerings to the Lord. Thank you.
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all in the Word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in the last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, and out of death into life. And we remember that our Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." And in the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. For by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore,
The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith to receive.
Let's join together in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you till life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Folks, depart in peace and represent the Prince of Peace well in all that you do.